This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The national sales event is on at your Toyota dealer, making now the perfect time to get a great deal on a dependable new car.
Like a legendary Camry, built for performance and available with all-wheel drive, you can count on your new Camry to get anywhere you need to go. And with available features like heated seats and a multimedia touchscreen, you can stay connected in comfort and style.
Or check out an affordable and reliable Corolla with a trim for every lifestyle, from the hip and agile sedan to the sporty hatchback. There's a dependable Corolla built just for you.
Plus, both Camrys and Corollas are available in hybrid models, so no matter your style, you can drive efficiently and affordably.
So, visit your local Toyota dealer and check out amazing national sales event deals on Camrys, Corollas, and more when you visit buyatoyota.com.
Toyota, let's go places.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss everything from cutting-edge science to the wisdom of the ages about how to be happier. This week we'll talk about why you should plan a virtual move and take a deep dive into how to deal with a child going off to college. I'm in New York City and with me is my sister Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, you are quite far from the stage of taking your son to college.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And even though I don't have to worry about it for a long time, Gretchen, it was fascinating to hear from listeners on this topic.
Yeah, yeah. But before we dive in, Elizabeth, we got an email from Sharon from Dublin, who really ran with your idea of the Power Day. She actually adapted it into a Power Week, and we loved hearing about this.
Yes. Sharon says, late last year, my husband and I renovated our house, but it feels like there are 100 incidental jobs left to be completed. It was a real happiness stumbling block to give up weekends to complete these menial tasks, but also a stumbling block to see everything almost finished. I made a list of absolutely everything that needed to be done room by room and booked a week off work to complete them. My husband did the same. I'm an obliger and I need accountability to really deliver. My husband is not a do-it-yourself enthusiast, so I asked my dad to come stay for a few days to help. He was really keen. Now my mom and father-in-law want in too. As a keen gardener, my mom wants to plant us a new garden. Double win.
What I love about this is that now, instead of dreading all these tasks and trying to work them in, she's like set aside time. She's brought in helpers. It's like this whole family time. Everybody's into it. And it becomes this, oh, we're going to get everything done in this one set block of time. It's really transforms all those tasks into something more fun. And probably they'll get a huge amount done just because they're so organized and they're going to be working together in such a concentrated way. So that's a great way. You can have a power hour. You can have a power day. You can have a power week. Whatever you want. However large your task is, there's a way to power into it. Love that.
Just wait till we introduce the power month. That's going to be very productive.
Well, Elizabeth, our try this at home tip this week is not to do a power month, which is a little terrifying, but it's to plan a virtual move.
Oh, I love this one, Gretch.
Yeah. So one thing that many, many people have noticed is that when you move, it's a great time to clear clutter. Because often what happens is that when you're going through the process of actually picking up an item and putting it in a box and wrapping it up and paying to have movers move it, you realize, you know what, I don't even want this thing anymore. And so then that's when you toss it or recycle it or give it away or whatever it is. And so we can kind of take advantage of this fact about moving that's very widespread, that you can do a virtual move, which is when you walk through your rooms and you look at what you have and you think, if I were moving, would I bother to wrap this doodad up in bubble wrap and stick it in a box and pay to have it moved and then unwrap it on the other end and figure out a place to put it? Or would I just chuck it, or would I just give it away to somebody else because I actually never use this thing?
Yeah, I think this is so smart, and I need to do this in my whole house. Gretchen, I should send you some pictures of our house right now, because as you and our listeners know, Adam and I have been doing this renovation for the last 2 years, I believe now.
Oh my gosh.
And each room has now become sort of a center of chaos.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we have like the dining room chairs in the living room, but plus a million other things that don't belong there. And the dining room table is covered with stuff. And it's like every area has just become insane. And I think we just need to go through and really do this exercise of, if we were moving, like, let's treat our house like a new house, because it's kind of is.
Yeah.
And do we want to, quote, move this object into our new house? And I think we would get rid of a lot of stuff that way.
So is it selfish and wrong of me that I really hope it is still like this when I come for my book tour in September? And so I can just relentlessly help you clear clutter for like 2 days straight. I would love to be there for your virtual move.
I think that is a dream that might come true. I would love to say it's all going to be done by September, but I think there's a very good chance that there will be plenty of virtual moving for you to help me do.
Well, but see, and here's the thing, is you don't have to wait for a real move. You can make your home nicer by doing that now, by tossing that thing now, or donating that thing now, or giving away that thing now. Instead of waiting for that official transition, like you say, you've got a sort of a lesser transition, but it can also be a catalyst for doing this mental exercise of doing a virtual move.
Yeah. And, you know, we have two fondue sets. And yes, we used to make fondue, believe it or not, but now we don't. So would we move our fondue maker? You know, it's a question that needs to be discussed. And think about how much room we would have in a cabinet, Gretchen, if we got rid of not one, but two fondue makers.
Well, and I think the thing is, you can safely say you can definitely get rid of one fondue maker without a pause. You might have to pause over the second fondue maker, probably not for long, but the second fondue maker can definitely go. But I think sometimes it is hard because things are in this kind of weird position where, okay, would we use it? Can we use it? Or it's precious in another way. And I thought of this, Elizabeth, because I was home in Kansas City, and Mom, who is not a clutter person, is constantly getting rid of clutter. So she doesn't have a lot of clutter stuff. But she had this gigantic 15-pound ceramic serpent that was taking up a huge amount of room, which apparently you made in second grade, and she has kept this whole time. And I was just like, huh. So at what point do you decide I'm going to get rid of this massive ceramic serpent that my second grader made for me? And I think maybe she has reached the point of where she'll just take a picture of the ceramic serpent as a little memento, but she doesn't actually need to take up an entire shelf of a bookshelf with a serpent anymore.
Yeah, Gretchen, you know what? She sent me a picture of him, and she said, time to say goodbye. And it was sad, but I couldn't begrudge her that shelf space.
Yeah. And then there are things where, like, I was so excited because a friend of mine told me about how buying this rice cooker had changed his life, and they love this rice cooker. And so then I bought one for Jamie for his birthday, and I thought, this is going to be amazing. This was when we were still eating rice. Now we don't eat rice anymore. But this is a sign of how long ago it was. And so he used it one time. We never used it again. Now we don't even cook rice at all. And it was just taking up room on our shelf. And for somebody, that's a really useful thing. So I actually found a friend who was like, oh my gosh, I definitely want a rice cooker. And I was so ecstatic to put it into the hands of somebody who would make good use of it. I think what's tough about clutter often is that things are so familiar to us, or we feel the value, like, oh, that was this great present that I thought was going to be such a successful gift, but then it didn't work out, but maybe one day I'll use it, or here's this serpent that, you know, my daughter made me with so much love or whatever. But when we're doing the virtual move, we see things differently. It's like a different lens of evaluating our stuff. And so the things that are just vanished into the woodwork because they're so familiar and they've been there forever, all of a sudden stand out in a different way. Oh, this is taking up a lot of space. It would take up its own entire cardboard box if I were moving it. Or if I were going to move this, I wouldn't move this because we never use this thing anymore. It's like a way of tricking your imagination into seeing familiar possessions in kind of a new, unfamiliar light.
Yes, Gretchen. And as an aside, Adam, what he does when he wants to get rid of an item, he thinks maybe I'll, hesitate, is he does it when I'm gone.
Ooh.
So recently, Jack and I went to Legoland and spent the night there. And when I came back, I started noticing that some fairly large objects were missing from the house. And he just sort of took them away while I was gone. And I was glad he did, because then I didn't have to, you know, have the whole internal debate about whether or not something should be there. But I think he's doing a little virtual moving of his own.
So, Elizabeth, like, what was something that you noticed had gone missing while you were gone?
Well, like, for instance, we have this thing called a learning tower, which is a pretty large wooden structure that you put up next to the kitchen counter, and your child can get on top of it and be able to see what's going on in the counter.
Ah.
And Jack used it some when he was young, but I mean, he hasn't used it for probably at least 2 years. I'd say it's only been sort of a blanket holder. I drape my throw blankets over it.
Uh-huh.
And it's something that I definitely would have resisted getting rid of, because I have sentimental attachment to anything that, you know, sort of suggests Jack at a younger age.
Yeah.
But it's really big. And as soon as I walked into the house, I noticed, I go, oh, this is so weird. I can see our bar stools.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I don't normally see our bar stools. And then like 3 hours later, I realized, oh, that's because that big thing that blocks the bar stools is now no longer here. And I just said to Adam, I go, oh, did you do something with the learning tower? And he was like, yeah. And like, okay. And that was all the discussion we had.
You're like, I don't even want to know what you did with it. But like, but that's great. I mean, that's a great example of something where you hadn't even thought about, like, should we keep it or should we get rid of it? It just had blended into the woodwork for you so much that you didn't even remember that you should even be evaluating it. But when it vanished, you noticed right away, because it was actually quite a major piece of furniture. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing with a virtual move. You'd be like, this is going to take up a whole giant box. Should we move this thing? No, because we don't use it anymore. That's a perfect example.
Yes.
Well, you know, another way to do this too, so you can imagine that you're doing a move, so you make a virtual move. Another thing that works for some people is to imagine that you're going to have a party. That also shows you your house in another unfamiliar light. They're like, wow, I've got fingerprints all over the door jamb. Or I look at that shelf and everything is just like higgledy-piggledy. I need to like organize that shelf. It's another way of seeing with fresh eyes your very familiar environment. And a lot of times when you look with those fresh eyes, you see that there are things that you can get rid of or that you can put into the hands of somebody who will appreciate them more, so that they are more active in the world with a different owner than they are just kind of languishing on the shelves or in a closet in your own house.
Yes. A virtual move, Gretchen, it'll be almost like you did move.
Yeah, because you'll have such a fresh new house.
Yeah.
So let us know if this works for you. If you've done a virtual move, let us know on Twitter, Facebook, drop us an email at podcast@GretchenRubin.com or go to happiercast.com/125 for anything related to this episode. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team, and hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Gretchen. That's LinkedIn.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Gretch, I love eating sandwiches, like a grilled cheese or a peanut butter sandwich is my ideal lunch, but I'm very aware of my carb intake, so oftentimes I avoid sandwiches. Luckily, Hero Bread has remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories. Plus, it has protein and fiber. I have been using it to make grilled cheeses, and I use their tortillas to make a cheese quesadilla, and I am in heaven.
Hero Bread tastes great, has a terrific texture, and helps you meet your nutrition goals. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use happier at checkout. That's happier at hero.co.
Okay, Gretchen, it's time for a happiness hack. And this is one that, you know, you can express very quickly. It's very simple.
This is a very simple hack, but it works like a charm, which is, okay, you know you have a splinter. And yes, they're hard to get out. You need the tweezers, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So what you can do is you can take glue, like Elmer's glue, and you coat the area that has the splinter with glue. Or you can take duct tape and you cover the splinter and you just rip it off. You rip off the glue once it's dried, or you rip off the duct tape and it will just lift the splinter right out. And I just recently learned about this. I got a splinter off of a handle of something that has, that puts little tiny slivers of splinters on my hand. Got out the Elmer's glue. It's fun. You got to say, there is that old grade school fun of like coating your hand with glue and peeling it off. So it was sort of fun to do. And it worked. I was like, this is the greatest thing. I'm never using tweezers again as long as I cannot see the tweezers. It never works. You just poke around. It hurts. The glue thing. So simple. So easy. It's amazing. So that's my hack.
This is awesome. It's the first time I'm hearing of this. I never heard this. Next time Jack has a splinter, I feel like he gets them occasionally. I'm going to do this and he'll love it.
Well, and it's also less intimidating because there's something about tweezers where it looks kind of like, sometimes little kids don't like that.
A medical instrument.
Yeah, they run away from you. But something like the tape or the glue feels much more like in the office supply artwork camp of things, not so much like, oh, they would use that at the dentist's office type of thing. So yeah, it's good. Try it.
Yeah. I guess we can call this a medical hack.
Yeah. Yes, another subcategory of hack.
Okay, Gretchen, in episode 122, we asked for advice from our listeners for you about sending Eliza off to college in the fall. It was, you know, advice, anything from what to pack to how to deal with holidays to, you know, what to do to help Eleanor when she's missing her sister, just anything. And the response has been overwhelming.
Yes, it has been so great. I have pored over these. There were so many fantastic ideas. So we're just going to highlight some of the best ones because there was so much great stuff.
A lot of people had advice about what to pack.
Yeah, I love this kind of concrete advice. I like really like basic concrete advice, and people had great ideas. Like Leanne had a great idea for a feel better box with things like thermometer, pain reducer, cough medicine, Pepto-Bismol, DayQuil, NyQuil, Band-Aids. Because these are things that, you know, it's no fun to shop when you're sick, and it's just great to have all these things together. And I thought that was a great idea, the Feel Better box.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Christina, who just graduated a few years ago, she suggests odor eliminating products. She points out the college dorm rooms kind of smell musty and weird, and I remember that smell.
Yes.
And that is something that Eliza probably would not buy for herself, but that she would enjoy having.
Yeah, yeah. This is something where I'm like, it would never have occurred to me, but the minute I read it, I was like, oh, 100. Not something that has like an odor, but something that's an odor eliminating product. Brilliant. And Julianne had, like, these are people who are very close to it. Another great suggestion, painter's tape, blue painter's tape, because it's great for putting up posters and decorations. You know, people love to decorate their dorm rooms. It's very easy to use and doesn't cause damage because a lot of colleges are really very strict about that. So very, very handy, painter's tape.
Plus, if you end up hating your roommate, you can put a line of it down the middle of the room.
Yeah, the classic solution, yes.
Yes. And then Ducky suggested flip-flops for the shower.
Yes.
Which is a very good idea.
Brilliant. I would not have thought of that, but clearly the minute you read it, you're like, absolutely.
Yes. And Post-it tabs for textbooks, which is also a great idea.
Yes, a great idea. Michelle asked her college-age son what he would suggest. So straight from his mouth is, and I thought this was a great idea, an inexpensive coat tree, because you can put coats on it, towels on it, backpacks on it, just like it's a place to put stuff so it's not all over the floor or all over the furniture. I thought that was a great idea.
Yes, I could have definitely used that in college. And then Sarah suggested twinkle lights because they look beautiful. And she said you can just get the, you know, the basic green rope, white Christmassy twinkle lights and put them up, and that it just kind of livens up the room.
Julianne had some advice for Eliza about moving in, which was don't argue with your parents about how to set up the room. Just let them do whatever they want. And then once they leave, you can set it up however you want it to be. Because she said a lot of other students she heard arguing with their parents about where to put things and all that. And so she just didn't, she just stayed out of all those arguments and had a lovely last couple of hours with her parents and then changed everything after they left. And I thought that was a very kind of realistic student level piece of advice.
Yes. And then, Gretch, we heard from Paige, who's a current college student, and she actually has a blog called Eyeliner Wings and Pretty Things, eyelinerwingsandprettythings.com. And she has a great post about 10 things I wish I'd known before moving into college. And another one that's 10 things not to buy for college, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
She emphasizes not to pack too much and not to buy too much. Don't bring bulk toiletries. There's not much room. And to see what you need before you get stuff. She says to ignore the packing list that stores provide because you'll end up buying stuff you really don't need, like an over-the-door shoe organizer.
Right. I'll post a link to that in the show notes to her her posts about what to pack and what not to pack. It's very useful. And this was such a lovely idea. This came from Danny. She said, the first thing my father did was to give me something on move-in day that was something so little but that I treasured, a dime he painted red. My dad has painted fire trucks for more than 40 years, and since I was going to the University of Wisconsin at Madison, he got the exact red color of the fire trucks he painted for the Madison Fire Department. I kept that dime with me throughout all my years in college, and it became my good luck charm. So I thought that was great. Give your child something that's like, here's something like essential to our relationship, and this is going to be my good luck charm to you. I thought that was very sweet.
Very sweet. And then, Gretchen, we heard from a lot of listeners on the subject of care packages.
Yes. Moving on
to a very important care package.
Yes, yes, yeah. Like, we got this great voicemail from Madeline.
Hi, my name's Madeline. I'm from California, but I went to school in D.C., and I actually just graduated. And one thing that I really enjoyed that my parents did, holidays were obviously, I think, so important, and that's when you miss your family the most. And since I was so far away, I wasn't home for many holidays. And they'd always send me a care package with candy themed for the holiday. But the best one I got was this past Thanksgiving. They had everyone at the party, like, write a little note. And so that was really nice. It just felt like I was there with my family. And that's something I would definitely recommend doing for Eliza, just because it was so meaningful for me. Thank you. Bye.
And Gretchen, speaking of celebration sort of care packages, Bethany suggested a birthday box with a dessert, balloons to blow up, birthday paper plates and napkins, et cetera, things that you would have at a birthday party in a box and mail it to your child, which I think is a great idea.
I think that's so fun. I can imagine people really, really having a good time with the sort of like birthday party. Now, some other suggestions we got for care packages, which I made note of, were funny socks, gift cards for Starbucks, or money for a nice dinner with friends, silly cards. Lisa, this is a good one for you. Theme mugs. And you could easily personalize a mug for your college student. Temporary tattoos. Eliza is obsessed with temporary tattoos, so that's a good one. Fancy pens. This was a good one. Face masks to de-stress before exams. Funny holiday decorations for Valentine's, Halloween, St. Patrick's. People suggested window gels, which are cheap and very easy to put up.
That's a great idea.
And Allison's mother, I thought this was cute, said her Christmas in a box with mini Christmas trees and lights, decorations, an advent calendar, and other cold weather treats like hot chocolate and new mittens. So that's sort of like a little winter holiday box. I thought that was wonderful.
And then we heard from Laura in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City.
During finals week, we would inflate a balloon for each final that we had. And then when we finished the final, we would pop them. And it was just so satisfying. So please send Eliza balloons. That's fun.
That is really, really fun. Now, Kristen, you have a great care package story. What's your care package?
Well, this isn't really mine. It's from my friend Laura, and I just love this care package story so much. I think it's the most touching care package I've ever heard of. Laura went off to college, and her first year at college, she couldn't afford to get back home for Christmas time. And so her mom called the nearest pizza parlor. She did a search, found the nearest pizza parlor to her college dorm, ordered a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke and a pizza, and she asked the staff of the pizza parlor if they could arrange the pepperoni on the pizza to look like a Christmas tree. And it arrived at Laura's room along with a note that she asked the staff to write, just saying, Merry Christmas, love, Mom.
That's so sweet.
Every time I tell that story or think about it, I just think, oh, that's like the sweetest, sweetest care package ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's original.
I love that.
But here's the thing, too, about that, is that several people mentioned that the care packages that their friends got or that their roommates got really made a difference for them. Just like you got a happiness boost from your friends at getting this lovely pizza.
Oh, yeah.
There's really this ripple effect. Many people said, oh, my roommate got this wonderful thing from her family. So you can make a difference to more than one student.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that I want to do is if I'm sending a care package, include in it, you know, something for Eliza's roommates or friends. So it's not just for her, but it's like explicitly I'll be thinking about, oh, maybe she'll want to share this with other people.
Gretchen, this reminds me of in Harry Potter when Mrs. Weasley sent a Christmas package to Harry.
Oh, yes. He was so excited. No one had ever sent him anything for Christmas. And he got a sweater and the treats and everything. Yes. Well, clearly the lesson for me, though, the thing that I'm taking away from this is I need to mark my calendar well in advance of the holiday, whatever holiday it is, so that I remember to get my act together to get the care package organized and mail it in order for her to get it in time. But here's something really sweet. So I was walking down the street with Eleanor and she was saying something like, I'm going to feel really sad when Eliza goes off to college. So I was like, yes, you will. Then I was like, but you know what's going to be really fun is we're going to like organize these care packages to send for her. Now, this is exactly the kind of thing that Eleanor loves to do. And she was full of ideas of like cute things that we could put in the care package. So it got her very, very fired up. And so that was sort of a nice thing to like at a moment where she was starting to feel sad. It like got her thinking about like, oh, but this is this really fun thing that we're going to be doing as part of Eliza going to college. So that was another way that care packages were helpful.
Oh, that's a great idea. Include Eleanor. That's awesome.
Yes.
Then a lot of people, Gretchen, wrote in on the subject of how to stay in contact with your child once she's in college. And I think this is utmost in many parents' minds, right?
Yeah.
And people had a huge range of suggestions about what to do. Some people have a once a week call, like, oh, every Sunday at 7 p.m. Some people text every day, which, I mean, that seems like a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people notice that you want to have a light touch and that something like family group chats work. It's very casual. Mm. There aren't a lot of expectations. Like sometimes you could just like send a funny photo and that would be enough to just have that feeling of connection. Trin had a fun tradition where she would send a picture of something in the house, like a corner of something or a small piece of something. And it would be like, mystery, what is this? And then everybody would try to guess what it was, which I thought was like a lighthearted way of trying to get your kid to answer you.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Someone suggested that we should add Eliza to our family updates, which right now are just you, me, mom and dad. Which I thought was intriguing. Do you think she'd want to know our mundane family updates?
I don't know that that would work as well with her as something just like texts, where like I text a random photograph of Barnaby and she texts me a heart emoji back. I think that's probably more what would work for her. We could CC her in the update and see what happens.
Yeah, she can always just ignore them.
Yeah, or she might like to read them, but then just not answer them. But, you know, I think it's just this idea of just knowing that they're okay without a lot of expectations.
Yes. It's like, let her contact you on her terms. Don't make it this overbearing thing that she has to respond to all the time.
But I think one thing that comes up is like, be clear about what the expectation is. Work it out with your student so that you're not nagging them or, you know, or feeling like you're out of touch. Because if the expectation is we're going to talk once a week by phone, well, then I'm not going to be calling you every day. You know, so it's to be clear about what the expectation is for your family.
Yes. Always good to communicate.
Yes, yes. Now, some general advice that was very useful. This came from Jenna, who is a college professor of mathematics. Her advice to parents is never email or call your students' professors. Let them do that. I thought, okay, that's good advice.
Yes, definitely good advice. And then Suzanne made a good point that I certainly never thought of. She said, after our daughter Elizabeth went to college, I'd find our family dog napping on her bed.
Aww.
Pets grieve too. And I tried to give our little dog extra love and attention as we all found our new normal.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can give Barnaby a little extra love.
I will.
When Eliza leaves.
Here, somebody wrote on my blog, there was no name, but I thought this was really good advice. She said, remember that when your daughter comes home for visits and breaks, she will be pulled in many directions, trying to catch up with old friends, see favorite missed places, and maybe even connect with new friends who are also living nearby. And so just sort of keep in mind that she might not want to spend all her time with us. So again, it's set expectations. How much, you know, when does she really need to be home and be around the family? And when is she free to do what she wants? And then also, maybe an idea is to plan to have a gathering so that everybody's at our house. And so she sees all her friends at once.
Mm.
It's something that we organize. So I thought that was a good idea. Elizabeth, when you and I were in college, when we would come home to Kansas City, we never really did it, but some people did have things. And it was always really, really nice when people would organize gatherings and you would see a bunch of people all at one time.
Yes, that's a great idea. And it's hard because you go to college, you're used to completely having your own schedule. And it's hard to come back and have your mom and dad tell you like what to do and when to be home. It can be a little tense at times.
Yeah, it's an adjustment. Chrissy said that something her father told her that really helped with the transition was he told her before she left, you can get used to anything in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, your new life at college will feel normal. And I think that's a very reassuring thing.
And then, Gretchen, people wrote in with advice about Eleanor, because, yeah, of course, she's a part of all this.
Yeah. And Shannon pointed out that keep up the same level of traditions for Eleanor, even though there's just one child. And I think that's great advice. And the college student Nadia said, try hard to keep your attention on Eleanor diluted. I found it really hard when my brother moved away to all of a sudden be the prime subject at the dinner table. So that's something to keep in mind.
Very good point.
And Christina noted that her younger sister missed her when she went away. So when she came home, she always made sure to plan something fun for just the two sisters. And she said her parents were kind enough to encourage it and not complain about feeling left out. So I think that's good. You and I, Elizabeth, we had a lot of sisterly time, just the two of us, and I think that really is valuable.
Yes.
Growing up.
And then, Gretchen, something mom did and she still does for us,
yeah,
is she keeps a little pile in the bedroom of any newspaper clippings that she thinks we'd find interesting, or invitations that she thinks we'd like to see, books we'd want to read, just kind of anything that, catches her eye that she thinks, oh, Elizabeth would like to see that, Gretchen would like to see that, and she has it ready for us whenever we come home.
Yeah, and I've actually started doing that myself. So when she and Dad come to New York, there's like a little pile for them in their bedroom.
Oh,
yeah. But Elizabeth, I thought maybe the last and most important thing to keep in mind sort of is picking up on a point that you made in episode 122, which is look forward. You know, yes, it's sad and you have to acknowledge that it's sad and that it's the end of something and you don't want to deny that, but you want to experience. But also think about the fact that it's a fun new chapter. It's a new place to explore and get to know. We're going to have our favorite places. We're going to have our traditions there. Leith wrote, my youngest daughter just graduated from college last month and will be moving to Massachusetts to teach. Well, at her graduation, I realized how much I would miss our trips to visit her, to go to different restaurants and enjoy the campus. Now we are on to another stage. And so it's like, yeah, remember, this is going to be its own new fun thing. It's not only,
yes,
the end of something, it's the beginning of something.
Yes,
that's very comforting to remember.
Yes. So the bottom line is enjoy this time, enjoy what it is and that it's a new stage, and embrace.
Yes. So thank you, listeners, for all these great ideas. There are even more. Like, we could go on and on. It was so helpful to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to dramatically increase Eliza's experience, I think, because I got many, many words of wisdom. So thank you, everyone who wrote in or called in with such great insights and observations and examples of what to do and what not to do.
Yes, really fantastic. I just love reading all of it.
Yep. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier. They can dress themselves. They can clean up after themselves, allegedly. Other things don't, like having conversations about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it. That's where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills.
Yeah, Jack has Greenlight. And one thing I love is that it includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. Gretchen, we used to mow the lawn. How much more motivated would we have been if we'd had funds deposited when we completed that chore?
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/happier. All right, Gretch, time for demerits and gold stars. This week, you are up with a happiness demerit.
So listen, this demerit, I realize I need this demerit because I was listening to your podcast, Happier in Hollywood, of course, and you guys had the, I think it was in episode 5, you talked about the Hollywood hack of having a professional photo taken of yourself. You made the very wise observation that no matter what you do these days, you almost always need to have like a good professional photograph taken of yourself. And so it's just one of these things where if you have it, it's a very easy thing to do. And if you don't have it, it's like major panic. And the fact is, I'm redesigning my website right now, so it will be totally redesigned by the time my book comes out in September. And in the redesign, they need a different kind of photo. They need landscape, you know, when it's horizontal instead of portrait, which is more vertical. I know I need these photographs. I've known for months that I need these photographs. Have I done a thing to get these photographs taken? No, because I hate to have my photograph taken. It's so exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to run around and like get your hair cut and get your brows done. And like, what are you going to wear?
And figure out what you're going to wear.
Yes. And like, oh, do I want to do something kind of unusual or unconventional? Because this is for my website. It's not like an author photo where it has to be very, you know, like very standard. So I just haven't done it. And time is ticking by and summer is slipping away. And I know that I'm going to get like an email from the people who are helping me redesign the website being like, hey, do you have any photographs for this place and this place and this place? Because we really need landscape photographs of you looking fabulous to put in your website. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be like, no, now I have to rush around to do it because I just didn't. And when I heard you guys talking about it, I'm like, yes, there are a million reasons why I should just do this in a way where it's leisurely and I have plenty of time and I can get myself organized and get it done. And I know I will have many uses for these photographs. It will not be a waste of my time and money and energy, but I haven't done it. So that is the demerit.
You need to do it. And also, I think you should have numerous outfits so that
yes.
you have, you know, pictures in different outfits so that you can use them for different things and not be repeating the same outfit all the time.
I had this jacket that I wore so much when my book, The Happiness Project, came out that my agent called me and said, you can never wear that jacket again because in every photograph of you, you're wearing that jacket. And I was like, but I love that jacket so much.
Doesn't she know about having a uniform?
Yes. It's like, and now you can never wear it again. So yes, you're right. I should have multiple outfits, multiple backgrounds, multiple moods. If you're having one picture taken, it's just as easy to have five pictures.
Absolutely.
Elizabeth, when you and I had our headshots taken of us together when we were starting the podcast, we did a whole thing. It was fine. We were dreading it. It was fine. Then we had all these pictures. Yeah. And we were so glad we did it because we needed them. So, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm psyched.
Get your picture taken.
I'm getting myself psyched up. Okay. I heard you on the podcast, the minute you guys started talking about it, I was like, ooh. Sarah and Elizabeth, they are speaking right to me, right from the heart of Hollywood. Okay, but gold star, lift us up. What have you been doing? What's been going well?
Okay, I'm giving myself a gold star
Yay,
this week.
Yay, great, good.
big gold star because, Gretchen, you and I share a hatred of driving.
Yes.
We do not enjoy driving. You've talked about it. You know, I've talked about it.
Yeah.
We just don't like to drive. And I really have a lot of fear, even though I have to drive all the time in LA. I mean, nonetheless, I have a real fear of driving when I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid to drive to work because I drive it every day. I know the route. I know what lane to be in. I know my exit. I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
But when I don't know where I'm going and I'm on the freeway, I'm absolutely terrified, like heart pounding in the chest, sweating, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I drove to Legoland with Jack recently with my friend Corrine and her son Joe. And it was too hard to take the train. I really had to drive. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to let my fear of driving stand in the way of having some, you know, mommy Jack time and doing something that I know is going to be really fun. And like a way to celebrate, you know, the beginning of summer. And so I just kind of gritted my teeth and I did it. I drove there and back and I did not enjoy it, but I did it. And I'm very proud of myself.
That you get a huge gold star. Because I am exactly there with you. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do it myself, but that is huge. And it's great. It's like, you don't want to let your life get constricted by this fear.
Right.
And so you refuse to do that. How long a drive was it?
And it's about 100 miles.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's not nothing.
Wow. And it's unfamiliar and it's on the freeway.
Yes. So anyway, I won't say that I'm dying to do it again, but I will do it again if I have to, because it was absolutely worth it. And I'm sure the more I do those kind of things, the less scary it will be, but I'm still working through it.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
But so here's an interesting thing. I went to this presentation about anxiety, and the presenter was saying the opposite of anxiety is boredom. And that a lot of times if you're anxious about something, it's because you don't do it enough. And that like when they deal with children, because he treats children, when they deal with children who are anxious about like something like being in the elevator, they make them sit in the elevator for hours and like play cards and play jacks and like get bored out of their minds. Because he's like, when you do something so much that you get bored of it, that's when anxiety goes away. And so part of it is if you did more driving, it would be more boring. But when you do less of it, it's like more anxiety provoking, which is like me. I never drive. So when I do drive, it's very novel. It's very anxiety producing.
So I just need to drive back and forth to Legoland a few hundred times and I'll be all good.
Yes. Well, gold star for doing it. It's great. You had a great time. It was totally worth it. So gold star.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Plan a virtual move. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our producer, Kristen Meinzer. Also thanks to Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes. This week, the resources are, one is The Moment of Happiness. If you love great quotations, you can sign up for The Moment of Happiness, my free daily newsletter that every day has a terrific quotation about happiness or human nature. So you can look in the show notes for happiercast.com/125 or go to happiercast.com/resources or just email me. Or if you want a copy of my one-pager about some of my favorite happiness paradoxes, because I do love a great paradox, you can do the same thing. Email me, go to happiercast.com/resources, or go to the show notes for episode 125.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep.
Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.